Chapter 4. The New Arrivals. "It is mystifying, stupefying, absolutely flabbergastifying!" exclaimed Bismarck, searching under a stone. "Where could your brother have gone?" The animals were retracing their path up the river, looking for clues, footprints, torn branches, scratch marks on bark, anything that might help them find Cora's brother. "If only I had been there when you were being chased," said Bismarck, stretching in his flaps at full length. I would have, he paused, racking his brain. "Well," he continued, "I would have done something courageous, something grand, something très magnifique." "Cora," said Dawn, ignoring her friend, "do you think you would recognize the exact place where you jumped into the water, or the last place you saw Joe?" Cora was about to reply when suddenly, out of the midnight shadows, four rumpled bats barreled onto the scene, zigzagging out of control through the air. "Look out! Aye! Ouch! Oy vey! Wham! Splat! Smush! Crunch!" One after the other, the bats pummeled headfirst into the trunk of a tree, then landed in a mangled heap at its base. "Oh, goodness!" exclaimed Tobin. The pangolin cocked his head in concern at the mound of sinewy limbs and black wings. "Excuse us," said the bat, making his way to his feet. "Just a small glitch in the biosonar," said another. "Perfectly normal." Tobin stared with wide eyes. "Perfectly normal?" he asked. The brigade and the wombat eyed the bats as they rose to their feet, dusted their wings, and teetered into an unsteady line. "Bats," murmured the sugar glider, "absolutely disgusting." The fox glared at Bismarck, but upon inspecting the creatures before her, she understood what he meant. The fur on their chests were matted and mangy, and their rickety wings were covered in scrapes. "Hmm," Tobin mused, squinting. He examined the bats, then turned to Bismarck. At a glance, the animals looked nearly identical. They were similar in size, with furless wings and fuzzy torsos. The pangolin blinked. His vision was always a little fuzzy. "Are you all related?" The sugar glider gasped in horror. "No!" he exclaimed. "Absolument pas," Bismarck puffed out his chest. "I am a proud marsupial, not some cave-dwelling, ceiling-hanging rodent." The sugar glider spun on his toes, showcasing the black stripe on his back. "Definitely a marsupial," muttered a bat. "No ability to fly," said another. Bismarck's face flamed with rage. "Of course I can fly," he yelled, flailing his flaps through the air. "I glide through the tallest of trees, soar through the windiest of winds, sail through the stormiest of skies." "Glide, yes. Soar, maybe. Fly, no." The bats huddled and snickered. Dawn quickly stepped in to ease the tension. "Maybe you can help us," she said. The creatures wobbled back into line. "This is Cora," continued the fox, "and her brother is missing. Did you see any wombats as you flew past?"
"Can't much see," said a bat. "Terrible eyes," said another.
"That's why we use echolocation," exclaimed a third. "We send out a sound, it hits something, then it echoes back. That's how we locate the object."
"Though that's on the fritz too," said the fourth. He rubbed his throat. "Larynx trouble." Dawn paused, a bit confused now herself. "So, you don't know of any strange occurrences?"
"Strange occurrences? We know all about those. Terrible mess in the valley these days.
Animals disappearing faster than the tsetse fly on the tongue." The bats all answered in turn. "You mean you know of others who have recently vanished?" The fur on Don's back stood on end.
"Swore. Never seen these parts so empty, nor so quiet, except for the screams."
The fox's breath caught in her throat. The bats had confirmed her fear that Cora's brother had not disappeared just by chance. He was one victim of many, and there would be many more if the brigade did not intervene.